Overrated or underrated Babe Ruth?
You already got a take on this. What's your take before I answer?
I'm going to say...
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Dugout. It is another edition of talking all things baseball all the time. And just like the 2011 Cardinals, we are now the team and we are now the ride. I am Cardinal Snack, AJ Caldwell. That is the Yankees ride or die guy, Drew Zagrosi. Back for another edition, Drew. How is it going in New York?
It's going. This episode's a little different because I have my own segment. Let's just like Woo! You have yours. You got the collapse, so we'll get right into it later. But here we go. Another episode.
Come on. I love it. Drew's been marinating like we talked about last week. He's getting in his feelings over there as we always do. And he's got a banger of a segment coming up. But as always, make sure to like and subscribe, rate and review the podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, as well as what you guys always see on YouTube. So make sure to like and subscribe to those things. As always, it's time again, Drew, for another top five. This one Drew kind of picked again, and I'm all for it. It wasn't like the Diamondbacks where it's like, bro, are the Diamondbacks even good anymore? We have got the top five Baltimore Orioles of all time. The Baltimore Orioles in 2022 had a great turnaround season. Drew, I think one of the best turnaround seasons in MLB history, losing 100 plus games the year before and almost making the playoffs this year. Cedric Mullins, Trey Mancini, although he got traded. It was a great season for Baltimore. So they're a hot trending topic right now. So why not talk about the greatest Baltimore Orioles of all time? And Drew, why don't you kick us off? Who's number five?
All right. Number five. I really want to put him on this list. I'm going to go with Mike Mussina. All right. Okay. First 10 seasons with the Orioles, he won 147 games, five-time All-Star, and four gold gloves as a pitcher. So I really want him on here, number five spot.
I like it. I had a certain name on here that I was going back and forth with Drew on whether or not he's worthy of the Baltimore Orioles greatest of all time discussion. I think it'd be an interesting discussion if we were to put him on there. I won't put him on here, and here's why. The honorable mention will be Manny Machado. I'm not going to put him on a GOAT list because the Orioles were so bad when he was there. Paul Goldschmidt, the Diamondbacks, at least made the playoffs a couple times. The Orioles sucked when Manny Machado was there. In fact, it wasn't until one of his final seasons they actually did well. And so I'm going to put him as an honorable mention, which means at number four... This is so tough because it's a lot of guys that aren't really household names when it comes to baseball. But in Orioles history, I'm going to go with Eddie Murray at number four. One of the best outfielders in baseball history of all time with Baltimore. He played, let me just pull up here. He played with the Orioles. I don't know the years on that. I don't know if you have the years on that. But again, great outfielder for Baltimore during the time that he played. 1977, he played with a .283 batting average and walked away with the Rookie of the Year in his first season. And it was off to the races after that. So Eddie Murray, one of the best Orioles outfielders of all time, and he deserves a number four spot in this list.
For sure. Wasn't one of the craziest players, but, I mean, he always had a solid batting average. So that's where I'd put him as well. So, all right. Number three. I think I'm going to go with Jim Palmer. All right. He spent all of his 19 seasons with the Orioles, and he finished in the top five in Cy Young voting eight different times. So, I mean, one of the greatest pitchers for that organization. So, Jim Palmer, number three.
Eight different times. Cy Young domination, bro. Think about how many guys just try to get in that conversation.
Exactly.
Woo. Eight different times. Well, this top two... everyone obviously knows who's going to be number one, but the top two is fun because at the two spot is a guy who also played in the infield, Brooks Robinson, one of the best third basemen of all time with the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, when you talk about all these discussions with Nolan Arenado and with Mike Schmidt and with, you know, Gold Gloves and everything, Brooks Robinson started that discussion. I mean, the man played 23 years in the major leagues. Obviously a large portion of that was with the Baltimore Orioles. So, one of the best third basemen of all time, deserves to be in the conversation as always. In 1960, he hit .294, which was, one of the best batting averages in the league on 88 RBIs. So Brooks Robinson deserves to be in that discussion as well. Not just as a top third baseman in Baltimore Orioles history, but I think he's one of the best third basemen in history, yeah. which we might come back to at the end of the episode.
For sure. I mean, the dude won 16 gold gloves, so just, yeah. All right. Number one spot, no one else other than Cal Ripken Jr. We already knew this. Man, just the Iron Man. I mean, we talked about him last episode, how players nowadays, they'll sit out for, you know, their pinky hurts, they got a headache, whatever. But this man always stayed in the game. And, yeah, the Iron Man, number one spot.
Number one spot, Cal Ripken Jr. That puts Drew in a little bit of a pickle as we come to the end of the episode, because as you guys know, we always have done a greatest of all time position. Today we're doing third baseman at the end of the episode. And Drew already chose Cal Ripken Jr. as his shortstop, which is fine because Cal Ripken Jr. was also a shortstop. Problem is, Cal Ripken Jr. played third base too. So Drew's in a little bit of a pickle when we get to the end of the episode, but we will get to that when we get to that. For now, we have another new segment. We're just rolling them out. Drew's got his new segment later on as well. But right now, Drew, we had a certain person comment on our podcast. I don't know if you saw this or if you know a certain Mr. Zagrosi, but Drew's dad actually reached out to us. And I'm just going to pull it up, actually, to read exactly what Drew's dad tagged us in. He reached out to me. Let me see if I can find this. I don't know if I'll be able to. Drew, if you can find it while I'm looking for this, please.
The comment, right?
Please enlighten us on the comment. But Drew's dad, let's see if it was in our discussion here. I'm not gonna be able to find it. But Drew's dad reached out to us and said, "Hey AJ, when you get a chance, talk to my son about his first ever game at Yankee Stadium." And so this is a new segment we're calling Drew's Yankee Tales. And I feel like we need like fairy tale music in the background of this.
Yeah.
But Drew, tell us about your first ever New York Yankees game, where you were, what you were doing. Just kind of tell us to kick back and relax, pull up a cup of Joe, and give us a little story here.
Right. So this was just like a really weird year for the Yankees, actually. So it was 2018, game three of the ALDS, and it was going to be the first time that I ever went to Yankee Stadium. It's like a 6-hour, 7-hour drive from where we're at. We didn't fly, but we did drive. So, and yeah, this was the final score of this game was 16-1 against the Red Sox, and is the worst loss in playoff history for the Yankees. And, like literally the first three innings, it was like 7-0. But that Red Sox team was crazy. They still had Mookie, Brock Holt was on that team. And like I said, it was weird for the Yankees because their starting first baseman was Luke Voit, this dude that no one's ever heard of. I mean, you probably actually did. I always forget he was a Cardinal, but
Luke Voit, baby.
Yeah, he was the starting first baseman. And yeah, the Yankees just did not show up. There was 49,657 people in attendance in the Bronx for this game. And yeah, this was just, I have some other, there's some random stats about this. Austin Romine was the second position player ever to pitch in a postseason history game. So
you pitched the position pitcher in a playoff game?
Yeah, he was the catcher at the time. And yeah, that was my first time at Yankee Stadium. It was, like I said, the first three innings, it was like 7-0. I'm pretty sure we left like during the seventh inning. It was so bad. And I hate, the Yankees need to change this because when you're at the stadium, a lot of you guys probably know, they play New York by Frank Sinatra. And even if the Yankees lose, they play that. Like, what are you, they can't be doing that. They can't, that's so bad.
Back up. You're telling me they play one of the most legendary songs of all time when you lose?
No, they play it like just at the end of the game, either win or loss for the Yankees. They play it every time. But yeah, that was
spread in the news.
Yeah, right. That was my first time at a Yankee Stadium. My second time though was really good. We'll talk about that next episode maybe. But I mean, I guess that was part of history, right? I guess.
Did you sing the Frank Sinatra song?
No, like I said, we left, so we didn't even get to hear the song. But
that's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, think about what the Chicago Cubs do when they win. Hey Chicago, what do you say? Such an annoying song, by the way. But Frank Sinatra, they play that when the Yankees lose.
Yeah, or win, but I mean, probably shouldn't play when they lose. I mean,
wow. I did not know that. That's news to me.
That was my That was my first time at a Yankee Stadium.
Drew's Yankee Tales. That's going to be a fun segment moving forward. 16-1. I mean, that was a loaded team. You're not wrong though. I mean, I know the Red Sox cheated that year, just like the Astros did, but I mean, that was an interesting year with Mookie and Brock Holt and they had a loaded team. Man, well that's tough. I feel for you, bro. Especially the first game.
Yeah.
I've had some interesting encounters first time to a stadium where it's like, why did I waste all this time? Yeah. Man. Well, that's gonna be a fun segment moving forward, but not as fun as this next one. Because we always love this. You guys aren't able to I guess if you watch on YouTube, you guys are able to watch this, but if you always listen to our podcast, I encourage you to watch it for the collapse segment, because one of my favorite parts week after week is watching Drew react to the absolute monstrosity of some of these baseball teams, which will be fun when we actually talk about the Yankees playoff collapses soon to see if Drew's still just as chipper. And then I'll have to probably return the favor and talk about my own St. Louis Cardinals. But let's stop talking about them for now, because we're here to talk about a team that, Drew, I was telling you off camera, I'm surprised we have not talked about this team yet, because they've been bad. And we use a lot of the same superlatives for a lot of these teams, but that's okay because it fits a lot of these teams, except for the Miami Marlins, sewage. The Chicago White Sox, we brought them up a couple weeks ago. I think we were talking about the trade deadline, about a team that could potentially lose the trade deadline and maybe accidentally trade Tim Anderson or something like that. The Chicago White Sox, people, I think, have forgotten just how bad they've actually been. And here's why I think they've forgotten that. The White Sox have been in kind of contention each year. If you think about 2021, they were literally on the cusp of eliminating the Houston Astros. Yes, those Houston Astros. The ones that just won the World Series. The same team. The Chicago White Sox had pushed them to the brink. I think it was game 3 or something in Chicago, Drew, where the White Sox won the game. The stadium was literally shaking. I mean, it was a zoo in Southside Chicago. And then the Astros eliminated them. And we really, that was kind of a blip on the radar of what we'd seen from the White Sox. And we really haven't seen them since. And we hadn't seen them up to that point either. So the fact that that's kind of their biggest moment, whatever, in the last 15 plus years is sad, because here's what the White Sox were. And this is something that if you're younger and you listen to our podcast, if you're, you know, still in high school or in college, you probably don't even remember this time. I mean, I don't remember. I was just looking at this. I was 7 when this happened. Drew, the Chicago White Sox swept the Houston Astros when they were in the National League in the World Series in 2005. Bobby Jenks, I don't know if you remember that name. He was the all-star closer for the Chicago White Sox. Looks like he was 300 pounds. Mark Burley was the ace for the Chicago White Sox. Juan Uribe, right? Remember Juan Uribe on the Los Angeles Dodgers? He was the starting shortstop for the Chicago White Sox. Paul Konerko, this team was loaded. I mean, they were loaded. They were ready to be a dynasty. Drew, since that point, the White Sox have had winning seasons interspersed between 2006 and 2019. They've had one playoff appearance. And then from 2019 to 2022, two playoff appearances, one losing in the wild card, and then that Astros series I just brought up. Why do we talk about the White Sox with a collapse? Because of what I previously brought up and what we talked about last week with the Blue Jays. The White Sox are no longer this team that everyone laughs at. They're supposed to be a team that contends. You have, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, the AL hitter that's really good. Help me, Drew. 79. Jose Abreu?
Jose Abreu, yeah.
Jose Abreu. That's how bad it is sometimes. You forget who's on the team. Tim Anderson, as I already mentioned. You have Giolito as one of the best pitchers in the American League every single year. I mean, you're not supposed to be on this podcast in this conversation, but you are. Drew, the White Sox finished 4th. Remember we talked about the AL Central and how bad the AL Central is? Yeah. Where it's like you try to lose that division so you don't have to face the Astros in the first round.
Yeah.
The White Sox in that division finished 4th. Not once, I feel like I'm LeBron right now. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five straight years. You finished fourth in the American League Central. Keep in mind, that was in between the Kansas City Royals actually winning the World Series and being good, but you were still fourth. Like, you weren't second, you were fourth. Drew, the White Sox are a team now that is reverting back to laughing stock material. The Chicago Cubs are always the lovable losers. People laugh about them. People, you know, give them a hard time because 2016 was the biggest fluke job ever. Haven't been seen since. Can I say this? The White Sox might be worse than the Cubs. I'm going to let that sit for a sec. The White Sox might be worse than the Cubs. That's saying something, bro. That is saying something. Because everyone knows on this podcast how I feel about the Chicago Cubs. Good grief.
Yeah.
But the White Sox are bad. Like, they don't have a shot. Their manager this last year, God love him because I love Tony La Russa. The man's 80 years old. He can't manage anymore. Why is he managing the White Sox? What was the thing last year? He was walking people on 1-2 counts? Like, intentionally walking them?
Fell asleep in the dugout. I mean,
fell asleep in the dugout. Fans were telling him what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's the White Sox right now. I don't know if you've seen the GIF, Drew, of Tony La Russa running out to home plate during a scrum or a fight. It's become the meme of all memes. That's the White Sox. You look at a video of Tony La Russa running out of the dugout, and you're like, that looks like the White Sox the past 15 years. They don't know how to run. They don't know how to fight. They don't know how to manage. The White Sox aren't going to sniff the playoffs, I don't think. Not anytime soon. As always, Drew can try to get the glimmer of hope with their prospects, but I don't think it matters.
No.
Tim Anderson's your best player, and he was out with a broken thumb for months. They had their, this is my favorite part, Drew, last season. They had their team-only meeting or players-only meeting. You know, like these player-only meetings where it's like, the staff doesn't know about it. The manager doesn't know about it. And it's like, man, we're going to come together. Drew, like a week later, they lost five straight. That's not what a players only meeting is supposed to result in. Like, they went on this 3-game win streak after that. And everyone's like, here come the White Sox. I remember MLB Network, like, the White Sox are going to win this division. They lost five straight after a players only meeting.
Yeah,
I'm dying to know what that players only meeting was. Because it couldn't have been good if that was the result a week later. So, I don't know if you got any thoughts on that, bro, but not once, not twice, not thrice, not four times, five times, finished fourth in one of the worst divisions in American sports.
I just want to know how Chicago White Sox fans and, like, Cubs fans feel about each other, because me as a Yankees fan, I really don't like the Mets. Like, I think they're annoying. They always say, oh, we're Yankees are the little brother, and it just goes back and forth. So I don't really know how that works. I actually have a friend that's a Cubs fan, and he goes to, like, White Sox games just because it's cheaper. So I don't know. I want to know how the fans feel about each side of Chicago there.
That is a thought. That is a thought, because, like, they're both bad. So, like, do they just, like, pat each other on the back? Like, you know, those gifts of people hugging each other like it's okay?
Yeah.
Or are they just, like, so mad that neither of them are good? Like, why are none of us good? Right. I don't know.
We'll never know until one of you guys tell us in the comments. So yeah, any Cubs fans rains, or let's just put White it Sox way. Fans, yeah. Alrighty.
Oh my gosh. All right, what we got, Drew?
All right, so we're going to be doing my new personal segment. This is going to be called Players of the Past. And this is going to be more of revolved around things that you may or may not know about the player that we bring into each episode. So, for instance, this episode is going to be Derek Jeter. And, you know, we could go on about how good he is, 3,000 hits. We could talk about that. But going to talk a little more about his early life, some things in the behind the scenes that you may have not known, you may have. But, I think this would be the perfect dude to start this out with. And we'll just get right into it with his early life. So he was born and raised in New Jersey, and he eventually moved to Michigan. So I don't know if anyone knew that. I did not know that. But and then he would actually stay with his grandparents during the summers. So that's when, and they lived in New Jersey, so that's when he would actually attend these Yankees games, and how he became a Yankee fan. grew up watching like Dave Winfield. He was really inspired by him. And if you guys don't know who Dave Winfield is, I mean, dude was insane. So with the Yankees a little, he was on the Yankees a little bit, but and then he basically just grew up saying that I'm one day going to be the shortstop for the New York Yankees when he was just like a kid, which is crazy how that just worked out. But and then we just move into he actually became a Yankee. We'll go over his stats briefly. Don't want to spend too much time on it because we know how good he was. 14-time All-Star, 5-time World Series champ, 5 times Gold Glover, the Yankee captain, 3,000 hits. We know all this. And I feel like you can't bring up Derek Jeter without talking about the dynasty back in the late 1900s late 90s and early 2000s, because that team was just probably one of the most greatest teams to watch in baseball. You had Andy Pettit, Mariano, and Jorge, just all those guys. But this is probably the most interesting part. I really wanted to bring this up. There was a video that went around about Derek Jeter. He was on a podcast or something, but I don't know if you saw this, AJ, but he was a free agent only once in his career. And he basically sat down with the Yankees staff and he said, "I'm not going anywhere. So we're going to have to figure this out. I'm not going anywhere." He told his agent to tell any team that calls to say that he's not interested. And he just told the Yankees to treat him fairly. And it obviously worked out, but I mean, not really good for negotiations, but that is what happened. And he obviously came back. I honestly didn't even know he was only a free agent once. So there's that. And obviously he is recently a Hall of Famer. He did not, he received 396 of the 397, which is kind of funny. I'm not going to lie.
Who's the one person?
So, yeah, if the one person somehow watching this podcast, just stand up, that would be hilarious. But, that's the second highest percentage in MLB history, right behind no one else other than Mariano Rivera, who went unanimous. So yeah, that's just a little background about Derek Jeter. I think that's just hilarious that he told other teams that he's not interested without even hearing numbers. I mean, like, what other teams do you think he could end up? Like, what if he went to the Red Sox or something? Like,
I don't think you ever want to think about that, bro.
No, but the Mets, like, but he had, no, there was the clip. There was a meme on Twitter, actually, from the captain, like the documentary. He said, "They're just the Mets," or whatever. So he'd probably just, like, they'd probably throw a huge number at him. He still wouldn't go there, but.
Yeah. That's what I was going to bring up is the captain documentary. If you guys have not seen it. Again, we always bring up these documentaries, not sponsors of this podcast. We'd love for you to be, but, the captain documentary on ESPN+, very well done. Derek Jeter got a lot of hate for whatever reason, during his career. People thought he was, you know, he had a big ego and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And all the jokes that Derek Jeter made in the documentary, that if he was in an age of social media and cell phones, like his career only would have been 3 years long. I think it's more of a joke than anything else. Because I mean, he just knew a lot of people and he was in New York. But Drew, you brought it up. He was part of the best baseball dynasty of all time. Like, I'm sorry, San Francisco Giants fans, but you're not the New York Yankees of 98 to 2001. Like, that team was goated for the rest of the time. Derek Jeter, I have a buddy who just always rags on Derek Jeter's defense. Like, oh, he wasn't this, he wasn't that. And, you know, all these stats say that he wasn't a great defender. Okay. That's fine, but all I remember from Derek Jeter are three plays. 3,000th hit being a home run. The home run with Jerry Meals, the 12-year-old kid. And the third play, there's actually four plays, and the other two plays are diving into the stands and throwing from the outfield grass. Those are both defensive plays. So everybody can just shove it if you think that he's not a great defender and yada, yada, yada. Derek Jeter is one of the greatest players of all time. In fact, Drew, we need to do a greatest, like, top 10 of all time at some point. That should be like our next debate.
Yeah.
Just across baseball, like not even positions or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think Derek Jeter has an argument to be on that list. He's a captain of the New York Yankees. That's not a small thing. So
no.
I did also want to bring up before we move on. I don't usually, you know, call out people who comment on our podcast, but we did our top 5 Yankees and the short got posted. Drew, I don't know if you saw this, but people are hurt and offended that we didn't put Mickey Mantle and Lou Gehrig. And listen, people, you can say whatever you want, but this is our show. Like, we're on the mics, we're on the podcast. Like, I don't care if you think that Mickey Mantle or Lou Gehrig should be there. Drew put Mariano Rivera at number five, and so we just went from there. Drew couldn't have put Mariano Rivera at number five, could have put somebody else. He decided not to. So when we're talking about the New York Yankees and we're talking about Derek Jeter and we're talking about all this, if you don't like it, that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion. But Mickey Mantle and Lou Gehrig, they should definitely be in a conversation. They're just not in our conversation. So we don't usually do that, Drew, but I just want to put out a PSA that, like, hey, it's okay. Like, we want you to comment on the pod and say your feelings about everything. But, bro, people were hurt. Like, people were mad that we didn't put it was interesting. So anyways, but yeah, that's, I love that, Drew. I love that segment. I think that's going to be really fun to do. You got anybody on deck next week that you've been thinking about?
Not really, to be honest. Really focused on this, but definitely gonna be someone from like a different team every time. We won't focus on Yankees. We'll move around a bit.
I like it. Sure. I like the life history. That's great. Yeah. But well, it's Drew's turn now. Last week I gave him some this or that. Talking about Randy Johnson and Sandy Koufax, and that was a fun segment. But this week I'm back on the hot seat. Drew's gonna team me up. I have no clue, as always, what Drew is going to say, what people he's gonna bring up, which makes this all the more fun. Drew, just fire away. Let's get this over.
Alrighty, so here we go. This or that. Starting off really hot.
Why wouldn't we? What?
Let's base this one only on this season. All right. Or no, we won't even say that. We'll just answer. All right. Better hitter, Yordan Alvarez or Juan Soto?
Yordan.
Okay.
Yordan. Yeah, I don't have to think a long time about that. I love Juan Soto. He's easily going to go down as a top 10 player of all time, I think, as long as his defense starts becoming a little bit better. But yeah, Yordan easy. I mean, from a hitter standpoint, he's on the Astros, dude. Like, can we just call the Astros the most clutch team of all time, maybe? Like,
might as well.
They're always in the heat of the moment coming up with big hits. So, bro, Yordan's home run in game six, he hit it over the batter's eye, people. Over the batter's eye. People don't do that. that was a yoke job, dude. So, yeah, I love Yordan. He's a better hitter.
Alrighty. Better first baseman. Freddie Freeman or Paul Goldschmidt?
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? You want me to lean into this microphone and say that Freddie Freeman is a better first baseman?
I saw this debate on Twitter. People were like arguing about this. It was a random
What's
Twitter
there to
thread.
Argue?
So I just wanted to hear what you had to say.
Freddie Freeman, great player, unbelievable player. Followed the money.
Yeah.
He followed the money.
Yep.
Bro, you just won a world championship with the Atlanta Braves. Now, okay, let me back up, though, because Freddie Freeman's a great guy. And mm-hmm. I think there's things coming out now that we're realizing Freddie Freeman wasn't being told the truth about all the negotiations.
Like his agent.
So I'm not even going to put that on Freddie Freeman. So I need to back up the truck a little bit. But the fact that it happened, I think, just puts Paul Goldschmidt in a better conversation from a better mm-hmm. first baseman standpoint. Because it's all about who you play around. I love that the Dodgers had this great team and then fell flat, because that is what the Los Angeles Dodgers do. They throw a bunch of money at people. They get whoever they want, however they want to get them, and then always fall short of the World Series. But they won in 2020. Let's stop talking about that. Paul Goldschmidt on the Diamondbacks came to the Cardinals and now will finish his career with the Cardinals. And by the way, at age 35, had the best year of his career. Not to mention his Gold Glove capabilities. That's what I think sets him apart. Freddie Freeman's not making the plays Paul Goldschmidt makes, bro.
Yeah.
Like, editors, put up the play right now of Arenado and Goldschmidt against the Arizona Diamondbacks, where Arenado threw a seed from 20 feet away and Goldie picked it like it was nothing. Like, we need to stop the debate about who's the best first baseman in baseball right now. NL MVP on a St. Louis Cardinals. Give me Paul Goldschmidt, bro. Let's stop this debate.
Alrighty. Well, yeah, I agree. I just love hearing you talk about your Cardinals. So Had to throw that one in there.
I'm in my feelings, bro. We gotta get over this hump somehow, some way. I'm tired of losing the wild card.
Well, you'll get there. We'll get there. All righty. Better base runner, Ricky Henderson or Trey Turner?
Whoa. Okay. That was like a slider that I just swung out of my shoes on. Yep. I like that one. I mean, that's easy for me, dude. Ricky Henderson was one of one. Trey Turner's great. I mean, the reason he has such a great market is, like, credit to him. He's turned his swing into one of the best in baseball. As a shortstop, he's like one of the best power hitters in baseball. That's saying something.
Yeah.
He can hit in the three hole and the four hole. He can cover people. Like, he's a great hitter. His speed is unreal, otherworldly. If Trey Turner's speed's otherworldly, what does that make Ricky Henderson's?
Yeah.
Like, the guy was unbelievable. I think he stole third base every time he was on second. Like, we can run stats on that. I'm pretty sure, like, every time he was on second base, he stole third. He was just unbelievable. Played on the A's. Played on the Blue Jays as well, actually. I just did a story on the Blue Jays for clutch points and realized that he was on the Joe Carter Blue Jays team. So, I mean, he went around and was a great asset on the team. And, I mean, he wasn't just a base runner. He's a great hitter, too. Yeah. So, yeah, Ricky Henderson's a better base runner.
Real quick, though, with Trey Turner, with these pickoff limits being implemented, we might see that dude's, value go up.
Stupid. Stupid.
Dude's going to make some money, but all right. Last
stupid,
one, I,
dude. What are we last, doing?
Last one I got for you. It's kind of a fun one, so, and I hope you pick the right answer. Please pick the right answer. Better entrance, Mariano Rivera or Edwin Diaz?
Oh! Dude, I was just joking with people about this the other day. Oh, dude. Oh, Drew, I don't want to hurt your feelings, dog, but.
Oh, my God.
Dude, like, Mariano Rivera, Enter Sandman, like, I think is, I'm going to go with Mariano Rivera, okay?
Okay.
He's got a better entrance. Enter Sandman, I mean, especially because Mariano is one of the best closers of all time, that aids it as well. But, dude, like, Edwin Diaz, I know you're a Yankees fan, so you hate it even more, but.
I hate those trumpets, bro. I hate those trumpets.
Dude, those trumpets are fire. Like, I'm just telling you, dude. And when they did it live, like, it was really cool. Edwin Diaz, like, hasn't proved anything. So I think when we talk about closer entrance, we have to talk about what the closer actually does.
Yeah.
I loved, this was the best part, because then the Padres went on to beat the Dodgers as well. But when Edwin Diaz came in the eighth inning, I don't know if you saw this, in game three, and the Mets were down, like, 6-2, and they still played the closer entrance. Bro, my Padre friends lost their minds, dude. Lost their, like, they adopted the song. They started playing it. It was unbelievable. Like, that's just digging your own grave at that point.
When the Mets lost the wild card, there's the meme you brought up when they played alive, Timmy Trump or whatever, he was at the game, and there's a clip of right when he starts playing the trumpets, it starts playing Taps. That was hilarious. I was dying, dude.
That is pretty funny. That is pretty funny. I thought that was pretty good. But yeah, no, I think I wasn't gonna say Edwin Diaz, even though it's pretty cool. I mean, Mariano is like one of one, dude. I mean, Ricky Henderson, Mariano Rivera. I think that's just the theme of this or that this week.
Yeah.
Like, just one of one guys that are never going to be able to be replicated
again. I think it's cool, though, that this generation we are seeing, like, another closer entrance, like, something like that, because we haven't had that really since Mariano, so that big. But
yeah. Well, and the Cardinals have one, too, with Hells Bells and Ryan Helsley, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That just gave me some major PTSD bringing up Ryan Helsley. But let's just move on.
We'll move on.
We're doing a specific kind of shift this week. We were doing Hall of Fame or not. I don't like to look on Drew's face already for this one. He's got something up his sleeve, it looks like. But we usually do Hall of Fame or not, which we will return to in weeks to come. But Drew had a great idea of flexing this into basically the same discussion, but instead of Hall of Fame or not, it's overrated or underrated. You guys see these clips all the time on YouTube with NFL players, especially NBA players. What about MLB players? If we were to throw out a name to each other that we didn't know about, that either of us knew about, what would we say in the heat of the moment about that player? Would they be overrated or underrated? And Drew, I'm going to kick us off. I usually talk to you, but I'm going to kick us off because I'm excited about this. Overrated or underrated? We're going to list. I got four names. I don't know how many names you got, but we'll do four, I think. This one's fun. He's on the free agent market right now.
Okay.
Overrated or underrated? Xander Bogaerts. Try to be unbiased.
Right. Right now, I'm going to say underrated just because of his batting average last year. So consistent. Yeah, I think he's going to get paid too. So
yeah. I would agree. I think he's definitely underrated.
Yeah.
He does not get the respect that he deserves.
His age, though, I think he's like, he might be like 31 come the start of next season. I don't know, actually. I could be wrong. I think Trey Turner, actually, though, he's going to be like 31, I'm pretty sure, which is crazy. I didn't even know that, but he's like 30 right now, I'm pretty sure. So
that's insane.
Yeah. Alrighty. Overrated or underrated? George Springer.
Oh, that one feels so much more different after 2022. Mm-hmm. I think if you asked me that question 2 years ago when Springer was, you know, a World Series hero, I know that Astros cheated, but I mean, he's still a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, I think he's overrated. I really do. I think, especially on the Blue Jays, like, I think they paid him way too much.
Yep.
He battled injuries, so it's kind of tough to say like someone's overrated when you haven't really seen him a lot.
Yeah.
But man, like, the guy just hasn't been the same. Like, again, if you told me that in 2018, I'm like, George Springer's the most underrated. I would make an argument that George Springer would be the most underrated player in baseball in 2018. Now, we're just overrating him, I think. On the Blue Jays, he's probably the fifth or sixth best player.
Yeah. I mean,
because the Blue Jays just got some guys. So, I can't put George Springer in an underrated category right now.
The way I see that is that was right after the Astros cheat. He was a free agent. Blue Jays won this leadoff hitter. They just threw this money at him. He probably thought in his head, all right, well, I'm going to be on a different team. Maybe I won't be getting this hate anymore. So, I mean, that's the way I look at that. But, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. There's only one right answer for this one, Drew. But so help me if you give the other option.
We'll see.
Overrated or underrated? Javi Baez.
Oh, dude. Come on. Overrated.
Thank you.
I was about to say underrated, just see what you say. I was debating it. But yeah, overrated. We've seen that with the Tigers last season. We can go back to his little stint with the Mets of how annoying that was when he came to Yankee Stadium. And yeah, just I won't even bring up his stats. What was he batting? Like two something? Two
Bro,
seven?
He bat under it 250.
Was so, yeah, it was so bad. So bad. And we've brought his contract up multiple times, how he's getting paid. And well, yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to make a statement that you neglected to mention when you brought up Javi Baez. Can we stop pretending Javi Baez was underrated on the Cubs?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, all these El Mago just unbelievably, like, overbearing posts. El Mago, the magician, he steals another base. Who cares? He's not good. He's not. If you watch a full game of the Cubs playing with Javi Baez, do you know how many times he strikes out? Do you know how many pitches out of the strike zone he swings at? Do you know how many errors he makes?
No, because you lose
count.
We need to stop pretending. It's too many. You lose count. It's just too many.
We need to stop pretending like, oh, when he left the Cubs, now people are overrating him. He's been overrated for a long time. A long time. So, sorry.
Well, yeah, speaking of Cubs, this one will be interesting. Overrated or underrated, Marcus Stroman?
I think people still underrate him. I think it's easy to say he's overrated right now, but yeah. I think people underrate him. The Cubs were not good, so it was tough to tell, but he had quietly a really good year with the Cubs. I don't know his exact stats, but he had a very good, like, strikeout rate, ERA. I mean, he was quietly really good. And people forget because he got traded to the Mets and the Cubs. And Marcus Stroman on the Blue Jays was him. Like, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball then. So he's still underrated. I think that if he gets on a contending team, he could be a main piece of that rotation. I think Marcus Stroman's still very underrated. So,
gotcha.
This is a World Series champion this year. Interesting discussion on this one. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Overrated or underrated? Kyle Tucker.
I'm going to say underrated. Every time I watch an Astros game, it's like he hits like three home runs every game. Really good defensively too. I'm going to say underrated. I feel like anyone on that Astros team is underrated at this point.
It's crazy.
Except Jose Altuve.
Yeah. I think Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and Yordan Alvarez are all rightly rated now. All the rest of those Astros guys are just going to continue slide under the radar, continue hitting 30 bombs every year, and continue coming up with clutch hits in the playoffs. That's just what they do. So, yeah, I agree. I think he's still underrated.
Is this the last one right here?
Yep, this last one. I got one more that's a banger.
Okay. That means this is my last one then?
Yeah, it's your last one.
Because I have a few names. I don't know what... I'm going to go with this one.
Okay.
But I don't want you to spend too much time on it, only because I feel like this could be a debate for another episode.
Okay.
So,
no problem.
You got to think this is like black and white. We can barely find footage of this dude. Overrated or underrated? Babe Ruth. You got it. This man was playing like with plumbers, and you got it. That's the
he's
only
playing with guys that weren't getting paid.
I know his stats. I know everything he's done. But I mean,
I feel like you already got a take on this. What's your take before I answer?
I'm gonna say overrated. I'm gonna say overrated.
I'm gonna stop there then, because Babe Ruth's overrated.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's very overrated. Not gonna lie.
Okay, we're gonna table that. That is the first episode. That's the first segment next week. We're marking it down right now. That's the first segment next week. Wow. Yeah. That is a can. You just open up a can.
Yes, sir.
Babe Ruth is so underrated, and it's not even close because people don't even think about him anymore. Wow. Okay. I gotta refocus, man. Oh. Well, I thought it was going to be on a lighter note, but this is also a banger because he just won MVP, but people, I think, still don't rate him rightly, and we just talked about him. Overrated or underrated, Paul Goldschmidt?
Screw his age. He's underrated. He's
Thank you
just said it. He had like the best career. I mean, yeah. Similar to Justin Verlander having a great career as well. I mean, I'd put him as underrated too, to be honest, except in the postseason this year. I mean, that was Paul Goldschmidt, well deserved MVP. And again, thank you to the MLB for watching our podcast. AL MVP, Aaron Judge, Yankee. I mean, thank you.
It's just that the stars are aligning. 2023 Yankees Cardinals World Series. The fact that we didn't meet each other until October, I think was dumb. Because if we started this podcast at the beginning of the season, it was fate, dude.
Yep.
And now that we're doing this in the offseason, there's no other way for it to happen. The Yankees and Cardinals are meeting in the World Series. It's just happening.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. But your guy, Aaron Judge, won MVP. And then he also had an interview, which was cool, where he said, like, Paul Goldschmidt is super underrated. Like, people don't talk about him enough. And I agree. So, Babe Ruth. Wow. Okay. We're going to come back to that. That's, I got so many thoughts. Let's finish with the only way that we know how, Drew. It's the GOAT segment. We've done, what do we do? GOAT, outfielder.
We did outfielder and shortstop, I'm pretty sure. Oh, and designated hitter.
And designated hitter. Today, I'm so tempted, Drew.
I'm excited.
People, I'm so tempted. I'm gonna let Drew go first again.
Okay.
Because I have a couple names on my list. But Drew, we're doing the greatest of all time third baseman today. The GOAT third baseman. A lot of names you could choose from here. We mentioned Brooks Robinson. Is he on our list? Is he in the conversation? I think he's in the conversation. But Drew, I'm gonna bide my time over here to see if I actually want to do this.
I'll go.
You give me your GOAT third baseman.
We just talked about this off camera before we started. There's a ton of names. I mean, there's honestly, there might not even be a wrong answer. I'm excited to hear who you pick, but I'm personally going with Wade Boggs. I don't know how you feel about that.
Okay.
So he recorded 3,010 hits, scored 1,500 runs, and his career batting average was .328. You could just always rely for him to get on base. .415 on base percentage. And I like this because I picked him mainly because this, he was a Yankee and a Red Sox. Not too many of those guys that were on both teams continued to do well on whatever team he ended up on. You had Jacoby Ellsbury, Johnny Damon, one of my favorites. Adam Ottavino now, he's going all over. I mean, he was on the Yankees, Mets, and Red Sox. So I'm going with Wade Boggs. I think I'm pretty happy with that.
I don't mind that. I think it's a, I'm trying to react to you while I'm internally wondering if this is the right thing to do.
I think you should do two. I think you should.
You're going to let me do two?
I think you should.
I'm not going to do two. I'm not.
All right, then you got it. You have to do the one you're being iffy about.
I'm taking all the smoke. Okay, you ready? Should I stand up? Oh man. Okay. Like Drew said, there's a lot of names, right? A lot of names you can choose from. A lot of people that could be in this conversation. A lot of people in the past that should definitely be in this conversation. But not today. Because Drew, if I'm going to pick a third baseman in a greatest of all time roster, give me Nolan Arenado, all right? 10 gold gloves. He's hitting .289 right now. He has had a gold glove in every single season. He has hit 40 home runs twice in his career. He's hit, three times in his career. He's hit 30 plus home runs four times in his career. He has batted 300. He's batted 300 or close to 300 four or five different times during his career. And oh, by the way, he now plays on one of the most historic franchises in baseball and is playing even better than he did with the Colorado Rockies. I know Mike Schmidt. I know Chipper Jones. I know Wade Boggs. I know Brooks Robinson. I don't care. You can call me biased. You can give me all the smoke. But until you find me a better third baseman defensively in the history of baseball, Manny Machado, I'm looking at you. I know you have all the crazy throws. Arenado is him for the rest of time. Drew, he's not done yet. No. Which is why this sounds more blasphemous, because he doesn't even have, he's not even at the end of his career yet. I think he's still in his prime, in my opinion. And that's what's crazy. Because the fact that Nolan Arenado is potentially still in his prime in 2022, and I'm putting him in the GOAT conversation, what is this man? It's like when we talk about Steph Curry. Like, he's already put himself as a top five player of all time. He's not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Arenado just getting started. This man needs to play in the World Series. This man needs to play in a league championship series. Like, this man still has work to do. But in my opinion, Drew, from a third baseman standpoint, where we just put it in a box like that, he's already accomplished what he's needed to accomplish. And it's the gold gloves. It's the hitting. It's the... Drew, he's hit .250 twice in his career. Twice. Javi Baez, who apparently is a great player, hit under .250.
Yeah.
As one of these best players of baseball right now. Nolan Arenado needs to be in that conversation more. I was so tempted on whether or not I wanted to do it. But you know what, Drew? I got to do it. He's already hit 299 home runs in 10 seasons.
Yeah.
You look at a lot of these other guys, they only hit 400 home runs. Arenado's going to finish with 450, 500, 550.
He's not done. He continues. His jersey's retired. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's easily probably the number one spot. Easily.
What do you think about me going there right now?
I mean, it's... I don't have a problem with it, but I mean, I could see why a lot of people would.
Oh, Mike Schmidt, I love it. I love him. It's a great player. Yeah. Brooks Robinson, 16 gold gloves. I think Nolan Arenado's going to get there. Now, this is going to look really bad if he gets injured or something happens. Or like, it's going to look awful, this take. But I'm ready to keep receipts on this. When Arenado comes back and everyone's like, Arenado will finish with 18 gold gloves and 550, 600 home runs. And
he's that dude. Yeah.
He's crazy. So I was. So the other names I had on my list was Chipper Jones and Mike Schmidt.
Okay.
But I had them below Nolan Arenado. And right when we started the episode, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do Nolan. So people, I'm giving you kind of an inside scoop behind the scenes. When we started the episode, it's like, you know what? I know we're doing the GOAT third baseman last. I'm not going to do Nolan. I'm going to give somebody else a chance. Drew, and then we started talking about the White Sox, and I'm like, man, we're not the White Sox. Yeah. It's like we started talking about overrated, underrated, Paul Goldschmidt. You asked me about somebody. Didn't you ask? You said something about the Cardinals. Maybe it was Judge and Goldschmidt. You brought that up, and I was like,
yeah, probably.
We got somebody over there at third base. So I'm willing to take all the heat for it. As always, feel free to comment on the shorts. Please be kind. I'm willing to have these discussions with you. But yeah, no, we love that. Drew, I already got our next GOAT segment next week. I think we do the greatest of all time catcher because I'm not going to do Yadier Molina. I think he's the best defensive catcher, but that just marinated in my mind. But I think we need to do that, especially because of what you said about JT Realmuto last week, where he's potentially in the Hall of Fame conversation. Lots to discuss, lots more to marinate. You got any final thoughts before we close out?
No, but this was a good episode. I gotta love AJ always talking about his Cardinals. That's always.
Do you not want to talk about?
No, not the 16-1 loss. We're good on that. If that's what you're thinking of.
No, you don't want to talk about your favorite Yankees player?
My favorite. Oh my gosh.
Drew, finish out.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has signed a one-year deal with the Yankees.
Get excited, Drew.
$6 million, I believe. sucks.
$6 million?
So bad. I'm pretty sure. I want to confirm. I tweeted it.
I didn't know it was that. Oh, you shouldn't have told me that.
I tweeted it. 1 second.
He said I tweeted it. Oh, how could we forget? How could we forget the legend of Ikea?
Give me a second. Got to figure it. Yep, $6 million. So we're hoping he gets traded or something. I think that I did see the Rockies were interested. I don't know why, but they are. So, yeah. There you have it. My favorite Yankees back.
Drew talks to me about he loves hearing me talk about my Cardinals. I love hearing Drew talk about the Yankees. And not just because, like, the Yankees have struggled, because we've struggled too. But just, Drew, I think it was when you when you said, ship IKF to the moon. That's probably the funniest moment of our podcast thus far. I mean, you just went off on the man. I mean, you got to give it a rest at some point. But,
hey, if he's if this is his... This he goes off this year, we'll see. Maybe. But I mean, you got Anthony Volpe, you got Oswald Peraza. Why are we even like signing this dude? I don't.
$6 million.
You gotta think he'll be traded because of these kids that can play.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'd be remiss if we did not bring that up to the episode. Yeah. But as always, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back again next week as the hot stove and the winter meetings continue to heat up. Something's happening soon, Drew. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's going to be a trade. There's going to be a domino effect. And we're waiting, people. We're waiting for something to happen live while we're recording. So that would be tons of fun. But thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Carlos Fanatic, AJ Caldwell. That is the ride or die Yankees guy, Drew Zagrosi. And as always, we will see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya. Peace out.